If you are visiting with us this morning, we do want to welcome you to Lake Country Bible Church and invite you to look in the back of the seat in front of you at the hymn slot there, and you should see an envelope or just a slip of paper. We'd appreciate you filling that out for us just to give us some contact information for you. And if you would please, at the end of the service, drop that completed form off into the wicker basket just to the right of the glass double doors. Thank you for joining us in worship today.
Some of the announcements this week, prayer meeting every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the room right back here to pray for our church and our church activities. Wednesday night, prayer and Bible study at 6 o'clock. Everybody is welcome. Choir rehearsals immediately after Wednesday night service. Women's Bible study is going to resume in January 3rd. 2023. Can you believe that? 2023. Terry Buckler's leading the Bible study, the book of Joshua, and all women will be invited. Lake Country Bible Church annual meeting. We need to announce this every Sunday before it occurs, that Lake Country Bible Church annual meeting will be January 15th, 2023. And then, fellowship potluck luncheon. That's today, right after church. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for who you are and your work in our lives. We know that many, many blessings that we receive are from you and because of your work in our lives. We thank you, Father, for your word, and we ask that each and every one of our people and people in our congregation and people in this country would stand up for your word and pray for your people in according with your commandments and take actions in accordance with what your leadership of the Holy Spirit would direct. We pray, Father, these things. We pray, Father, that you be with Mike this morning, that he would preach the word that you have given him. We pray, Father, for the leadership of this congregation. We pray you bless this day. And we pray, Father, that you bless each and every family represented here and their children and grandchildren and all their relatives. Reach out to everyone in the world, Father, through our contact with them to share the gospel message by the way we walk and talk so that people know we are different. Different from what the culture tries to tell us. Pray these things, Father, in your name, in Christ's name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is Matthew 24, 1 through 28. Matthew 24, 1 through 28. Matthew 24, 1 through 28. Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall we see these things? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall bear the wars of rumors and the wars. See that ye not be troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. ye shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall be deceived many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this is gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for the witnesses unto all nations, and then shall come the end. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, wheresoever let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which be on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight shall be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall the great tribulation, such as not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake these days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there believe it not, for there shall be false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, shineth even unto the west, so shall all the coming of the Son of Man. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles be gathered together.
I trust you're having a great Sunday morning. Boy, I tell you what, I have been promoted. Gracious me, it's good to look out and see some folks I haven't seen in a year.
Is that right?
Yeah, right. All the way from Alaska, these folks came back for another dose. I don't know that I've ever had anybody drive that far just to hear me speak. Look around and see everybody that's here. Y'all are a blessing, each and every one of you, as I look and hey, it worked. Look around and see, I rejoice looking and seeing all your smiling faces. Some of you haven't seen for a while. Some of you I have. Some of you have been reported sick. I'm glad that you're back with us this morning. And that's a blessing, not only to me, but also to Steve, the choir members. And I just feel blessed this morning. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and we sure thank you for grace. Father, as we look into this lesson this morning, we pray that you'd open our eyes, our ears, our understanding. And Father, we pray that we might get out of this lesson what you would have us to get out of this lesson. Father, as we think about this time of year and all of the festivities and all of the gift giving and all of the rush and hubbub and plans and all of these things, we can lose focus, Father, on the real meaning of this time of year. Father, we thank you that we can always, always enjoy not only this time of year, but every time of year, because you love us with a perfect love. Your Son made the payment. We might have eternal life as a free gift. Father, just thank you so much for your goodness. We ask you to be with us this morning. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're looking at this morning the lesson of the purging of Israel. Now, last week we looked at the judgment of the nations. Judgment of the nations pointed to the Gentiles and how God will come in and will judge the Gentiles. We find that God determined in His Word that He would deal with the Jews for some 490 years. And what the Old Testament prophets did not see was that God is going to carve out 7 years of tribulation for them towards the end of that 490 years. That time of tribulation is going to be preceded by some 2,000 years of the age of grace. And I don't see anybody that's so old that I cannot say this with all correctness, and that is that we have all lived during this age of grace. And we look forward to the return of Christ for the rapture of the church. What we're looking at this morning is not something that points to the rapture of the church. It does in a roundabout way. The fact is that what we're looking at this morning deals with the revelation of Jesus Christ when He returns at the end of the tribulation period. Judgment will fall upon the Jews. Judgment at this time in the future, when this takes place, judgment of the Gentiles has already taken place. So what we have here as the millennial period of time, that 1,000 years of Christ's literal reign here on this earth, we find that God will bring into that time of 1,000-year reign only believers, no unbelievers. Only believers will enter into that 1,000-year reign of Christ. We find here, as we look this morning, the lesson, the purging of Israel, is God's judgment upon the Jews. It's a terrible time. Many people take Matthew chapter 25 and chapter 24 dealing with the signs that we could say deal with the rapture of the church. But as I stated earlier, basically that these two chapters deal with the revelation of Jesus Christ. We can take those things that we see for the nearness of the revelation of Christ to put emphasis on the need for us to be witnesses for Christ during this period of time, because the rapture takes place 7 years before this 7 year before the 7 year tribulation period. So let's begin, and we'll see this morning. Looking at the little Greece. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 38, "And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." The purging of Israel is not the judgment this nation shall receive during the tribulation. Through the tribulation, though the tribulation shall indeed be a time of extreme suffering for Israel, it's called Jacob's trouble. This is going to be a time that I dare say is worse than the time of Jacob's trouble, this purging of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, we read, "Alas, for that great day is great, and none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, and he shall be saved out of it." God is going to preserve a group of Jews for His honor and glory to go into the millennial reign of Christ. "So greatly will all men suffer during this time," that we see in Matthew chapter 24, where it says in verse 22, "And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Speaking to the Jews, we have to remember that the judgment of the Gentiles, the nations, that we looked at last week precedes this judgment on the Jews. This is particular and pertains only to Jewish people here on this earth that come through the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation, alive. During the tribulation, Israel shall be cut down to a very small nation. It's going to be a terrible time for the Jewish people. Two-thirds of Israel shall be slain in the land of Palestine. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9 tells us, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Now I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." 9/10 of the remaining Jews who are scattered throughout the world will be killed at this time. They will be made to pass under the rod. We look into the Old Testament in Ezekiel, and where in verse 37 of chapter 20, "And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." Leviticus chapter 27, verse 32. "And concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." 9/10 of those Jews who, quote, pass under the rod shall die. 9/10 go to slaughter, while 1/10 becomes the Lord's. What is the subject? Or who is the subject of this purging? 24th, 25th chapters of Matthew contain these answers for us, which the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples when they asked two questions. These two questions were, "Master, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Master, what shall be the sign of the end of the world?" Word world there is actually referring to this age. And they were concerned about that, the disciples were, apostles were. In the previous lesson, we discovered and discussed that the judgment of the nations, Gentiles, as found in Matthew chapter 25. Here in Matthew 24, we're going to be discussing the purging of Israel. All Jews who come out of the tribulation alive shall be judged. They will be subjected to this purging. Those who are to be separated from the rest of Israel are those who have taken the mark of the beast. It's going to be a terrible time during the 7 years tribulation. You won't be able to buy or sell except you have the mark of the beast. Terrible time. Ezekiel chapter 20 in verse 38, "And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Those who have sold out to the Antichrist, Daniel chapter 11, verse 30, "For the ships of Shittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return, and have indignation against the holy covenant, so shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant." Where will this purging take place? Israel is never to be reckoned among the nations. Even at this time, Israel shall be judged separately from the Gentiles. You see, Israel, God's chosen people, his, if you would, wife, adulterous wife. The Gentiles were brought in to this age of grace and included in those who would be those who belong to Christ. They would be included because of the Jews' stubbornness in receiving God and trusting in Him. We find here, after the tribulation, this 24th chapter of Matthew is very clear as to when this purging shall occur. We read in Matthew 24, verses 27 and 29, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Immediately after the tribulation of those days, that's when this will take place, the tribulation period following the tribulation period. "Even immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Before the Lord Jesus, all judgment has been placed into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, we read, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Hereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." This includes his own brethren, according to the flesh, the Jews. Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Sounding of this trumpet is not the sounding of the last trump. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, this trump in 1 Corinthians 15, 52, deals with the rapture of the church in a moment. "In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The last trump is blown at the beginning of the tribulation, while this trumpet is sounded at the close of the tribulation. We read in Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." This trumpet is the prophetic fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets found in Leviticus 23, which denotes the regathering of Israel. What's going to be the result of this purging? We'll find that Matthew 24 also, verse 37 and following, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the man, Son of Man, be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, knew not until the flood came, took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord cometh." He said, boy, that sounds like the rapture. Yes, it does. But the difference is, those that are said, where it says two shall be in the field, one taken, one left. Two shall be at the mill, one taken and one left. Many believers hold that the above scriptures refer to the rapture of the church. Many sermons been preached on that too, in error, stating that the one that shall be taken up to meet the Lord in the air, and the other one that's left shall be left to go through the tribulation. By applying these scriptures to the rapture, this is true. However, the scriptures do not refer to the rapture, but rather to the revelation of Jesus Christ 7 years following the rapture, when he comes back to earth and reveals himself as to who he really is. The rapture takes place before the tribulation, while the revelation takes place after the tribulation. Verse 29, Matthew 24 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. We shall see that the results of the separating, the purging of Israel, is the exact opposite of that which takes place at the rapture. What a terrifying time this is going to be. Thankful that we will have been in heaven already for 7 years, and we will look either from the portals of heaven and watch this take place, or we'll be here with Christ. I believe we'll be here with him. The marked Jews are to be taken. Remember, this occurs after the tribulation, the coming of the Lord Jesus to the earth. The revelation is likened to the coming of the flood at the time of Noah. The flood came and took whom away? Unbelievers. Where did they go? To judgment and to death. And when Christ comes to the earth, the revelation, he shall take whom away? Unbelievers. Where? To judgment and to death. The saved Jews are to be left behind. The flood could not take Noah and his family away, for they were secure in the ark. Christ will not take the believing Jew away, for they are secure in him. The saved Jew will be left to go into the millennium and hence into eternal life. It's true that many Jews shall be spared during the tribulation who have not been born again, yet who have not taken the mark of the beast. What will happen to them? Jews shall be regathered. Look at the scriptures which describe the regathering of Israel from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 5, chapter 5, verse 26, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. Isaiah 11:11, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time, to recover the remnant of his people. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Christ will be revealed at this time. From the Word, we're taught that Christ shall reveal himself unto Israel, those who have not taken the mark of the beast. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Aren't we glad for grace? And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. they'll realize who Christ is, what he's done for them. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, and one day, or one shall say unto him, what are those wounds in thine hands? And he'll answer. And this really gets to me. Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Israel shall be reborn. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, thou mayest live. We read in Romans 11, verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Israel is not the church, for the church is already saved, raptured, present with the Lord. When the regeneration of Israel occurs, all Israel does not mean that all Jews from Abraham through the tribulation shall be saved. It means those Jews who come out of the tribulation alive who have not taken the mark of the beast. The Jews shall be cut down 9/10 in the world. What a slaughter that must be. And then down to 2/3 in the land. And then purged of all rebels according to the number of Israel today. Should the rapture take place, and that nation shall number about the same that come out of Egypt by Moses and entered into the land with Joshua. The purging of Israel. Terrible time here on this earth. But God is good. God is gracious. Today, he offers to every one of us eternal life as a free gift. I'm not Jewish. You may have some Jewish blood in you. I had a customer one time who was Jewish. Funny man. Typical Jewish man. I went to him one day after we had him and some other folks together and heard him talk. And he was a good businessman. And I was in business. I called on him, and after several months of calling on him, about 2 years, I was privileged to be the recipient of probably about 90% of his business. But he was a good businessman. Didn't put up with any shenanigans. I went to him and I said, Lou, will you give me a transfusion? And he looked at me, he said, a transfusion? I said, yeah, a blood transfusion. He laughed at me and he said, why in the world? I said, because you're part of God's chosen people. And I said, God has something special for you. And he said, well, I guess when you get ready, just let me know. Well, Lou is now in the presence of the Lord. And it was quite a period of time of education for me. But anyway, the rapture should take place. Going to be about the same number of Jewish people came out of Egypt and entered into the land with Joshua. This concludes our study this morning, lesson number 12, the purging of Israel. Let's pray. You're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and before we pray, I want to just tell you this. You're here this morning and you're not sure of heaven as your home. You can be sure. God never lies. He tells us that God made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God's Word tells us also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We read this morning, studied this morning, how Sadducee came to Christ and had a conversation. And in that conversation, Christ told him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ made the payment for our sin. He didn't pay for part of them. He paid for all of them. And God's Word tells us if we will trust that payment to be payment for our sin, that God will give us eternal life as a free gift. It's by grace. You see, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you can be assured that God knows your thoughts. He knows whether you're sincere or not. And I would just encourage you right there in the stillness of your own mind, the best way you know how, just simply receive Christ. Trust Him, what He's done for you to get you to heaven. You might voice it. It's not necessary. Prayer doesn't save you. Faith saves you. But for your own benefit, you might just say something like this. Lord, I don't have all the answers. I've still got a lot of questions. But the best way I know how, I want to trust Christ and what He's done for me to get me to heaven. If you'll just place your faith and trust in Christ's payment for your sin, God's Word guarantees that you have everlasting life. It also tells us that we can know that we have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you're here this morning, in the best way you know how, you're taking God at His Word, the best way you know how, you're trusting Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. You've never done it before, but you're doing it this morning. Would you just, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't call you forward. I won't come to you afterwards. It's between you and the Lord. But I'd like to know who you are so I can pray for you in the weeks to come. And if you're here this morning, you're trusting Christ, would you just let me know by just slipping up your hand and putting it down again? Anybody, real quick, slip it up and put it down. Anybody? Fine. Father, we sure thank you for grace. We thank you for the freeness of the gift of eternal life. Father, we're so grateful for your Holy Spirit who indwells us, leads, guides, teaches, directs, convicts. Father, just for that indwelling. Father, we just appreciate it so much. Thank you for it. Thank you for your word that you've preserved it for us. Father, we just ask that you'd bless each one that's here this morning. Extra special good. We pray, Father, this might be a season of rejoicing, refreshing, just thanksgiving for all you are and all you've done for us. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.